reading from Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. We do not live by bread alone,
but by every word that comes from the mouth of
So some of you know, I am an Eagle Scout. Anyone who aspires to this rank must embody the values of scouting, complete a series of merit badges, and demonstrate leadership ability by organizing a community service project. My project benefited the pad site, which was housed by the congregation in which I was baptized. Teams of scouts went door to door, collecting toiletries and clothing for distribution to PAD's guests. Many neighbors and local businesses were very generous with their gifts, but some were not. I especially remember digging through one bag of donations and finding a used pair of stained underwear. Even someone in desperate need would have found it difficult to appreciate these white and brown briefs. To think that such a poor quality gift would be appreciated by someone in need either reveals profound ignorance on the part of the giver or absolute disdain for the recipient. The quality of gifts, of Israel's gifts, are a central concern in the prophet Malachi's oracle. The temple in Jerusalem was rebuilt and rededicated nearly 70 years after the armies of Babylon burned the first one to the ground. The priests had been offering sacrifices to God in the second temple for nearly a century before the word of the Lord came to Israel by Malachi. Over time, the quality of their sacrifices had gotten worse. Instead of offering God the beautiful, show-quality animals that God required by contract, the people began offering animals who were blind, lame, and sick. Instead of insisting that the people offer the first and the best produced by the flocks of Israel, the priests were allowing them to offer and accepting livestock that even the town butcher might hesitate to buy. Through Malachi, the Lord scolded Israel for their second and third rate offerings. Were they so ignorant of their contract with God that they thought these sacrifices were okay? Had their love for God grown so cold that they would scam God by offering and sacrificing animals that they no longer wanted for themselves? In either case, something was blocking love in the people's hearts. The obstruction robbed God of the good gifts that the people could offer, and God rejected their inferior offerings. The quality of our gifts does matter. For who among us would give a friend a $20 gift card for Christmas that only had $13.79 on it? Who among us would give a loved one our hand-me-down fifth-generation Android phone for Christmas when they had their heart set on the new iPhone 10? When such presents are given, we can't help but feel that the giver's heart really isn't in the gift. Yet we do things like this all the time when we give to God or to our neighbors in need. God, who loves us and who generously takes care of us, is worthy of receiving the first and the best of what our labors produce. Yet we often spend our resources on things that we want. We often give God what is left over. Likewise, our neighbors in need are worthy of receiving good gifts that are given with all of the dignity and the respect owed to people under God's loving care. Yet we often unload our cast-off clothing and our unwanted clutter on them, assuming that they'll be grateful for whatever scraps fall from our tables. When we find ourselves being ungenerous towards God, when we find that we are giving our neighbor in need gifts that we don't even want for ourselves, it is time to examine the condition of our hearts. Advent is a great time for this checkup. And Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments can help us test our hearts. Do we truly fear and love God above all things? Are we using God's name respectfully? And do we make the most of opportunities to know God through the living conversation that is God's Word? Do we speak and act respectfully to those who occupy positions of authority, even when we disagree with them? Do we help our neighbors in their time of need? And do we honor those we love with our words and deeds? Do we deal justly in all business dealings, giving everyone that we meet the benefit of the doubt, helping our neighbor hold on to their possessions, and supporting others as they strive to live faithfully in their relationships? Living by these values is a lifelong pursuit, and chances are good that our checkup will reveal blockages in our hearts, blockages which rob God and our neighbors of the good gifts we could offer. The prophet Malachi gave God's people a checkup in his day, and he found them wanting. However, God would remain faithful to them even though they did not hold up their end of the contract that they made with God. By Malachi's mouth, God promised to send a messenger of the covenant, a prophet who would repair their broken relationship with God. This messenger would prepare the way of the Lord, removing all obstacles blocking the Lord's path to the people. The infinite would suddenly come to the temple in a way that the people could grasp, they could understand. The tremendous would suddenly appear in the way that the people could touch. But before this could happen, the blockages in the people's hearts needed to be removed. The coming messenger would deal with the blockages like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Impurities would be consumed in his flames, and those who could not survive the blaze would be scrubbed furiously in his waters. This cleansing would focus on the Levitical priests who would pass through the messenger's fire. The blockages in their hearts would be burned away, leaving the priesthood as polished as pure silver and as malleable as pure gold. No longer polluted by stinginess towards God and neighbor, no longer hard-hearted and unyielding to God's instructions, the priests would finally be able to offer sacrifices in righteousness. They could rediscover joy in their passion and in their openness to God's teaching, and their joy would overflow to the people. The people's love for God would be rekindled, and God's unhindered blessings would flow freely out into the world. God raises up prophets in every age to clear the way, away whatever blockages have formed in the hearts of God's people. They prepare the Lord's path to us, clearing the way of all obstacles so that we may rediscover the joy of God's salvation among us. These messengers hold up a mirror, the mirror of God's law in front of us, so that we can see our true selves, all that God calls impure, as well as all that God calls good. They often expose the dirty laundry that we would rather keep hidden. And anyone who is wise will weigh the truth of their words. For without the prophets, we would never know of our great need for Christ or the joy of his coming. This is the role that John the Baptist filled, as did Elijah before him. This is the role to which God is calling the church today. We are called to speak out against the injustice of a world that forgets about heavenly treasures to obsess over earthly ones. We are called to speak honestly about the brokenness in a world that who values pleasure more than righteousness. We are called to carefully and lovingly discern the obstacles that lie between our world and the Most High God who shares our flesh in Jesus Christ. And we are called to give authentic witness to his work, which removes all barriers between our world and God forevermore. This prophetic work begins in the temple of our own hearts and homes, and when undertaken honestly, will bless the world. We never enter into judgment without the promise of forgiveness. We never experience condemnation without the assurance of salvation. For Christ's sake, the work of self-examination is encompassed by a gentle grace which cradles us, even when we dislike the truths that we discover about ourselves. For Jesus washes us through faith, so that we may joyfully offer God the first and the best of our labors in righteousness. Jesus draws us through baptismal waters, so we will be able to give good gifts to our neighbors in need. Let us prepare the way with truth and with repentant hope. The Lord is coming.